everyone who time jumped today. I'll apologize up front. I'm obviously in the car, so hopefully my audio doesn't cut in and out too much. Go ahead and get started. We're going to start with Melanie on
a 911. Melanie, if you're talking, we can't hear you.
Melanie, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah.
I can hear you.
My computer was on mute. Silly me.
Okay. Melanie, go ahead with the 911 update.
Okay, thanks, Tina. A few things going on in the 911 world. Our Vesta phone systems are being updated currently to version 8.5 across the state. This is enabling a single sign-on for dispatchers to access both Vesta and Command Central with one login. We're also deploying a new technology called Assist for 911. This unifies call mapping, call handling, transcription, and caller data with AI assisting dispatchers. For PSAPs opted in for another technology called the Virtual Response Assistant, or what we call VERA. It helps offload non-emergency calls. Caller interacts with an AI system via voice or text, which can resolve issues or transfer the call internally or to another agency, reducing call taker workload. And this is also being deployed statewide for PSAPs that opted in. On the analytics side, we're transitioning from ECAPs that we've had for several years to what's called Rapid Deploy Eclipse. And our go live is May 1st. Historical data from January 2025 to April 2026 will be available. So PSAPs and dispatch centers will need to pull any of their needed data prior to May 1st. We will no longer have access to ECATS. All PSAPs will also transition to a new map called Rapid Deploy Radius, which will be installed after the Vesta updates and the assist deployments are completed. And finally, UCA has recently sponsored a NINA CTO class that was hosted by VEC, which received positive feedback. And we're also working with the PSAP Advisory Committee, CISA, and State DEM to plan an interoperability tabletop exercise for all PSAPs and dispatch centers on the state 911 system. And that is scheduled for May 13th. Location is to be determined. That's it for now. Unless you guys have any questions for me. Thanks.
Hey, Melanie, it's Brian.
Thanks, Melanie. Oh, go ahead, Brian.
Sorry. Hey, just to clarify the radius map that you mentioned is replacing the aware map. Is that correct? I kind of heard that through the grapevine, but I just want to make sure.
Yeah. So the update that is happening right now and the movement to AI or the assist for 911 is actually an update to the aware map. And once we get that trend completed, then Rapid Deploy Eclipse will be the mapping that does eventually transition to and will take over the aware map.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Good question. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Melanie. Appreciate it. There's a ton going on in 911. We know the PSAPs have had a ton of meetings and a ton of training, so appreciate all of that. We'll go to, let's see, is Dan on? Dan Dialogue?
Dan's here in the conference room.
Yep.
Okay, Dan, do you have any updates on or anything on BDAs or beyond that you wanted to add?
No updates this time.
Okay, awesome. Garrett, have anything on programming? Or if not, Phil, do you want to take it on the radio?
Yeah, sure. I'll go ahead. We are effectively entering the stabilization and cleanup phase of the project itself. The system is generally working. Our tickets are essentially low at this point. We're maybe getting probably 2 to 3 a week, somewhere in that ballpark of random issues throughout the state. We are actively tracking and tracking down and eliminating interferers with the sites. We have, I would say, what are typical problems with radio systems regarding interferers, and a lot of those issues with interference come back to BDAs that are malfunctioning or configured incorrectly, or are even old BDAs not set up for the correct band that we're operating in. A lot of the old 800 BDAs are still around and still turned on, or they were anyway. So we have specialized equipment that we go and drive and work on tracking those systems down. We have ways of detecting that on the sites, and we're actively eliminating those issues. We recently solved a frequency reuse issue that was causing UHP some issues up in Section 1 and in Cache County. We believe that's solved. We had to do some reordering of our control channel frequencies up there, but it's looking pretty good. And we're meeting with UHP monthly to work through any sort of issues that they have. We may have mentioned, but we're doing phase one testing in Salt Lake County, where we've set some of their talk groups to phase one only, just to see if it improved anything. So far, they haven't reported any effect either way, but we're hopeful that that has some bear some fruit for them. We're also tracking an issue in Moab and Richfield related to repeated keying, where a radio keys up over and over. Right now we're attributing that to scanning at this point. We're not completely sure what that issue is, what the root cause of that issue is, but our belief right now is that it has something to do with scanning and potentially patch talk groups, but we're actively investigating that and working with those folks. We were able to bring that problem down to a point where it's not causing them an effect on a daily basis, but it is something that we're continuing to work on. Let's see, since we last met, we brought our Jack's Peak site online, and it's been operating in Beaver County, and I think Paul Wolden would agree that it's working well and seems to be providing additional coverage in Beaver County. And that is
yes, Paul Wolden agrees. It has been working very well so far.
I think we talked about Henderson Point, but in Garfield County, we brought a site online called Henderson Point, and it's been up and running and working well from what I've heard there. We talked previously, I know we talked about Phelps Hill, but Phelps Hill and Helper, that was brought online probably more than a month ago. And so those are our three new sites, and they seem to be up and running and working well. That's our update.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Only thing I think I wanted to bring up was the AT&T FirstNet meeting that we had last week. We hosted at UCA. One thing that I think, and I'll be sending out a newsletter. I'm just waiting for some more information from Tracy Murdoch from FirstNet. But one of the things that became very apparent in that meeting to me is that exactly what they had said to us, they have a ton of money and they are going to be building new sites. So the link that I sent to everyone in the newsletter about the meeting regarding the invite, there was a survey to be filled out. Seven people in Utah have filled out a survey. They crowdsourcing, and they have some ideas and showed us some of the places where they believe that they could use a new tower. But what they really want to do is hear from the locals to see and understand what the crowdsourcing data is not telling them, and and where the real needs for a tower are. So I'm going to be sending out another newsletter with that information, with some additional information that I learned from the meeting, and then also with the survey link again, and ask everyone to put in the information or to enter in the survey. Bill and Travis and Dan and I are going to meet with AT&T and FirstNet in about a month from now and review all of the surveys, and then kind of talk through where we're going to be adding new sites and or where we're looking to add new sites and where the new towers are needed, and see if there's a way to, you know, somehow team up or whatever. And so I'll be sending that information out, but I just wanted to make it super clear that they are very serious about taking information from public safety to understand where the needs are for another tower or two. And it's not necessarily limited to that. This is a multi-year project. And so the squeaky wheel gets the oil, if you will. They are definitely interested in what public safety wants because of where their funding is coming from, where AT&T is getting their funding for the FirstNet project. So please take a look at that when I send out the information. If you have the information from before, it will basically be the same link. So go in and fill out that survey. So there had only been four surveys filled out before the meeting. And then I know Tracy had emailed me this morning and said they've received another three. So please take some time to look at that. And I think that would be of value. The other thing, let me just look at my list that I had really fast. I just wanted to share my screen really fast and show you some of our other sites that we've already got in the works. Bill touched on the ones that we have that we've already done and turned on, which is the Phelps Hill, the Henderson Point, and Jack's Peak. Clay Hills will be next. And then we have these others in process. Sorry, I'm stilling up from my governing board meeting slide. So hang on a sec. Oops, there we go. So you guys can see we still have Blue Mountain in Uinta, Monte Cristo in Rich, Parker Mountain in Paiute, Navajo Mountain in San Juan, Hannah in Duchesne, Geyser Park in Sevier, and then Tucker in Utah County. Clay Hills, as I mentioned, will be on in the next couple of weeks. So we're excited about that. These are full-blown sites, and then we still have our list of our microsites. We have not received our first unit yet, but I would like to think that when they say any day, they mean sometime this year. But I'm starting to lose a little bit of hope in when we're going to get this unit to test. But we'll be testing it in American Fork Canyon, and then you can see where we've got slated to add some of the different types of remote units instead of having full-blown sites. So if you guys have ideas or needs in terms of where we're lacking in coverage, please fill out a ticket on our website, and so we can get those on our list and talk through them. So are there any questions that anyone has for anyone? I don't see any questions. I don't see any hands raised, and I don't see anything in the chat. So we appreciate you guys. We appreciate your time. We appreciate the fact that you'll call in and have conversation with us or get updates from us. It's obviously, we feel like it is helpful to our customers to have the FaceTime and have the information and just have these monthly meetings. So as the newsletter said, it'll be every fourth Tuesday at 1 o'clock. So we hope you'll keep joining. And if you have anything between now and then, don't hesitate to submit a ticket or give one of us a call. Thank you so much.